Last week I preached on the glory of God, and I used as my principal text Isaiah 6:3, which is a part of all our services. When Isaiah has a heavenly vision of the Lord seated as king on a throne in heaven. We talked about how kings are always trying to steal glory from God. But only God has the glory. And the angels sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." I'm going to continue preaching this verse today, and I'm going to review a little bit. I've noticed that, you know, sometimes I teach a class and then people go out and they immediately forget what you said, right? And I'm that way too, you know. So a little review wouldn't hurt us. What is glory? Glory is the weighty and important display of God's power and goodness to the faithful. It's the weighty and important display of God's power and goodness to the faithful. Now, it weighs on us, and it's light weighs on us. How could that be? Or the Spirit comes down in love or joy. How can that be heavy? Well, you feel it. It's not actually heavy. It's not physically heavy, but it comes down. It's weighty and it's important. Now, God's glory goes wherever his presence goes. So we have God's presence as a people, as a faithful people. God's glory, therefore, goes with us. And what's interesting about glory is we can experience it. God doesn't need to impress himself. I mean, there's some of us men, we like to impress ourselves, right? But God doesn't need to impress himself. Right? He gives us glory so we can experience it if we have faith, if our eye is good, and we see the coming of the Lord. Okay. Now, glory usually comes down from God. I said that glory lives in our temples, but it comes down from God into our temples, whereas praise goes up to God. And honor goes up to God from us, whereas glory comes down. It can also flash out of our temple when we have that presence in us. Okay, there are two general kinds of glory: miracles and flashes of God's powerful presence. Those flashes usually come by light or by fire or some smoke or some atmospheric thing, like clouds, like rainbows. Noah had the rainbow covenant, or thunder is also an atmospheric indication of God's glory. Something's gonna happen. Okay, we learned that faith miracles call down the glory of God. It was the glory of God that made the walls of Jericho fall down. The glory was over the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. They took the Ark around 7 days, 7 times, and it fell down. The walls came tumbling down. We learned that when the people were hungry in the desert, Moses said to them, "You will see God's glory in the morning." Right? And what was there in the morning? The manna, the bread from heaven, and the quails. We learned that when Martha was all worried about her brother Lazarus, who'd been dead for 4 days, him stinking, so why open the tomb? Jesus said, if you only believe, you will see the glory of God. Isaiah, in that first reading from last week, was purified by an ember from the heavenly altar. A symbol of God's glory came and touched his mouth. Therefore, he was purified. The sin and dross and ugliness was burned away in him, and he was ready to serve and preach and be God's prophet. We talked about Moses having the glory of God on his face. Right? That was a sunburn glory, whereas the glory comes out of us, an interior glory, because we're temples of the Holy Spirit. If he could have that sunburn glory from an exterior law, from the presence of God coming off the tablets and the ark, how much more us who have God's glory in us? Okay. We talked about Pentecost 2,000 years ago when the tongues of fire came down. Representations of glory came down and they burned away the lack of confidence. They burned away the lack of trust in God's people, and 3,000 of them joined the church that day. They learned how to praise with the fire of God upon them. Okay. We need to fill our temples. I'm going to preach about filling our temples today. But before you fill a temple, you got to clean it out. Like if, you know, you have old furniture in your house. And you know, why do people buy furniture on credit? Because they just can't stand to look at it anymore, right? You've all had that feeling? When there's just like a brown thing in your house and you just gotta get it out, right? So you get it out, but you gotta clean the whole room. You gotta clean the whole house, right? Everything's brown in Portales. I've noticed that. I'm sorry. I love Portales, but everything's brown, man. All the carpets are brown. Right? There must have been a sale on that 30 years ago. All the rental houses, that brown carpet. Okay. The students know what I'm talking about too. All right. So you gotta clean the temple first. And you know, fire is a cleaning agent. It's a consuming agent. It's a purifying agent. And the chief sacrifice of the Old Testament, the first one ever performed by man, was a holocaust, a burnt offering sacrifice. And the idea was this, and I think we can all understand it. It's like you take a bull, you take a ram, you take a lamb, and you offer it to God by burning it on an altar in the temple. And it was a symbol of our desire to have our sin burned away. Right. Well, what did Jesus say? Luke 12:49, Jesus says, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already burning. See, he came to bring fire to the earth to burn away sin, to consume the sin of the world, to get rid of it. Right? I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already burning. Now, so many of us are trying to get rid of our sins, but we're trying to do it on our own power. And what I've noticed is that the people with the biggest sins are the ones who are always trying hard. They're stuck in sin because they're trying to do it with their own glory, which they don't have any. And instead of using the fire of God to purify them from the inside out. Stop trying to do it on your own power. You can't do it on your own power. That's why God gave us grace. That's why he made us temples of the Holy Spirit, so we'd have his power in us. Right? This idea of burning it away is really important. The Old Testament, they would burn every time you had a woman had a baby, they had to come up with a burnt offering. Right? Can you imagine? The priest would sell them a lamb or a ram or something, and they'd have to burn it. We wouldn't have to have annual Catholic appeals if we could sell the animals like that. After every child was born, had to have a Holocaust offering. When a leper was purified, or when a priest was consecrated or ordained, you had to make a burnt offering. Right? And the idea is God, only God can burn away your sins. And so you're saying when you burn an animal, the smoke and the flame are rising up to God. And the desire in you when you burn an animal is the smoke and flame that go up to God come down again. The glory comes down and cleans you. But Jesus can actually clean us. Burnt offerings really didn't do the trick. Just because you offer something doesn't mean God's got to come down with the fire and the smoke. You know, he has a choice about that. But now by faith, we can call down the purifying blaze of God's glory. And it can consume the sin in us. Well, you know, the word tells us again and again that God is no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. That means he'll fill my temple and make it pure and clean, and he'll do the same for you. And how? By faith, by a certain faith, a certain trust in him, and you repent and give him your sins, and you will be clean and you will get filled. It's a law in the spiritual realm. You repent, you get clean, you live by faith, you get filled. And first of all, with his glory, with the fire of his Holy Spirit. You don't have to be smart or beautiful or athletic to have a clean and filled holy temple. And so many of us are just tricked by Satan, and we think we got to do this, that, and the other thing to get ourselves holy. No, you need to repent, get clean, live by faith, and your temple will be filled. Okay. Now, our faith, however, must be accompanied by protective measures, right? Protective measures, a good defense, you know, you gain points if you got a good defense. You got to have some protective measures too. And this John G. Lake, this great Chicago businessman, about 100 years ago, he turned into a great healer. He was involved in over 10,000 healings. He became a missionary to South Africa, a Pentecostal pioneer. He puts it this way. Jesus taught us to close the mind, to close the heart, to close our very being against all that is evil, to live with an openness to God only, so that the sunlight of God shines in. So the glory radiance of God shines in, but everything that is dark is shut out. That's where the Beatitudes come in. Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the poor. You gotta filter in the good and filter out the bad, right? You gotta fill yourself with the principles and concepts and trust of God, and that's gonna light up your temple. And you filter out what's evil. Okay, now, what happens? Temples, like we have a fire escapes over here. You got the exit sign over there, right? We're going to have some more over there when we finish this renovation. Please help it come fast, Lord, okay? So we've got fire escapes. We've got doors in a temple, right? We've even got windows in a temple, right? Well, a temple has to hold, it's like a container, has to hold something. But if we always have the doors of our temple open, the windows of our temple open, and the fire escapes, that's what happened. The fire of the Holy Ghost just gets out of us. As soon as it comes in, it goes out. And that's not the way it should be. They should be able to hold the fire, hold the glory. But what happens through our television habits? I'm not against all television. Through our eating too much and drinking too much, the glory goes right out of our temple. Through our big eyes, you know, we're dressing up little kids, man. This is nasty, the way 10-year-old girls dressing like that, man. We can't keep our custody of our eyes. We got itching ears. Even the best Christians in small towns got itching ears, right? Ooh. And what do you think the glory of God does when you're gossiping? Man, they go somewhere else, right? Okay, our temples again and again, what I'm saying, are opened up to evil. And the demons walk right through the fire escapes, right? Because we can't contain the glory of God. We can't contain the gifts of the Holy Spirit because our doors, our windows, and the fire are open and the fire escapes. Listen to this, Romans 5:5. I'll give you another image. This hope that we have will not, hope of heaven will not let us down because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. See, the Holy Spirit keeps us hopeful, right? And the love of God keeps us hopeful. We can trust God because we have this burning fire of his love in our hearts. But it's poured into us. When you pour something into something, it's got to be able to contain it. If you had a glass with a crack in it, what in God's name would you keep pouring something into it for? It's just going to leak out. And that happens again and again. We get a little flicker of the Holy Spirit at a service or at a Bible study or talking with somebody. And then we go right back to opening up the gates and out goes the fire once again. Because we're not protecting our temple. Okay, our man John G. Lake cites Luke 8:18, where 8:18 of Luke, Christ is talking about keeping evil out of our temple. And he says, take care how you hear. Take care how you hear. He didn't say, go put in earplugs, right? And pretend that you're one of these pious, I'd like to say it, but I won't. You're pious freaks or worse. Right? He didn't say put in earplugs. He said take care how you hear. Meaning you're going to hear things, right? People say, well, I hear things, Father. Well, good. I hear things too from God. He said, take care how you hear. And he also said, take care how you see. When he said, if your eye causes you damage, pluck it out. See, he didn't mean literally take out your eye. He meant take care how you see. So take care how you see, take care how you hear, because your inner temple is going to be polluted unless you do. We see things. I see things. You see things. We hear things. We can't go around with a bag over our head and earplugs in us. That's not what God said. But he did say, be careful. Guard your temple. All right? And we need to do some of that. All right. Listen to what Lake said. When it is something offensive to the spirit and the knowledge of God, shut the doors of your spirit man, your spirit woman, and it will not touch you. You see, us Christians, we live in America, we're very democratic and pluralistic, and we'll just sample everything. We're like, you know, we'll try everything, right? We're so free, we don't know what we're doing, right? Well, we think we just got to hear everybody out. No, you don't have to hear everybody out. You don't have to see everything either. You got to guard your spirit man, your spirit woman, and realize that nothing can touch you when you're a temple of the Holy Ghost, when you have God's glory in you. And believe that. Believe you can turn off the TV. Believe you can turn your eyes away. Believe you can walk away from a ridiculous conversation, right? We can do it. The Christian, Lake says, lives as God in the world, dominating sin. We don't have to fear this and fear that. Dominating sin, evil and sickness, bless God. But we have to take care how we hear, filter out the noise, filter out the ugly sights that are going to rob us of our purity and our glory, man. If your eye's your problem, pluck it out. Not literally. Take care how you see. Now, some of us also have the idea that, well, because we say we're Christians, because we're baptized, well, we must have the glory of God in us. Well, chapters 8 through 11 prove that God's glory does not have to stay in his temple. God can do whatever he wants. And if you are filling yourself up with stuff that runs him out of your temple, he will leave. But if you fill yourself up with faith, trust, the principles of God, love of God, forgiveness, pardon, mercy, he will be in your temple till your dying day, man. And the glory will flash out of you. Jesus talked about wolves in sheep's clothing. Wolves in sheep's clothing. He was talking about their inner man, right? Do you think wolves in sheep's clothing have God's glory in them? I don't think they do, right? So, in other words, they lost it. They look okay on the outside, but inside they're ravenous wolves. Their temple is defiled. That's some scary stuff. I don't want to have a temple like that. Okay, our ears are the doors of our temple. Our eyes are the windows. Well, the chief fire escape is the hole in the roof, and that's our minds, man. Do you ever talk to some people and it goes in one ear and out the other? It goes right out their head. Man, they just don't get it because their minds are not right. They're just not thinking right. You don't have to, I'm not saying you got to be a PhD to be a Christian, but some of it goes right out the chimney, you know, and what's one of the means of that? People change in their minds. You ever see people like, well, I love this one today, and tomorrow I love that one. Well, and today I go to this church, and the next day I go to that church, and today I listen to this pastor, and tomorrow I don't listen to anybody. Which is it, dude? You got a fickle mind. Come on in, sit down. Angie Moreno? Okay. I don't think anyone from that family's here. Thanks. Okay. The good things of God go right out the top of people's heads. They hear a good, strong message, but their minds are too fickle to understand and keep it there, right? And glory can't abide in their temple because the good messages go right out their minds. One of the chief tricks that Satan plays on our mind is he puts fear in our mind. Jesus talked about hell more than anything else. Then he talked about giving more than anything else. And then the third thing he talked about was fear. He kept saying, be not afraid. Because if you have fear in your mind, what happens? If you have fear in your mind, you lose courage, you lose faith, the glory of God just escapes, right? And when I sit down with the college students or something, you know, these kids are 22, 23 years old, right? What happens? They start talking about a horror movie they saw when they were 14 years old. Well, we slept over so-and-so's house and we saw that movie. And they're still scared from the horror flick they saw 10 years ago. There are certain things in life you're not going to forget if you look at them or if you do them. So don't do them. Don't get started on that garbage. Because you will be paralyzed with fear. You say, or like the shoot 'em up, the crime shows and everything. I'm telling you, those are not fit for human consumption. That is just, there's the way those shows make you think is going to put you full of fear. And the glory of God can't be in your temple if you're full of fear. The glory of God is a powerful spirit. It's a purifying spirit. It's a hopeful, confident spirit. And if you fill yourself up with that kind of TV and that kind of horror movies, there's no glory in you, right? Okay. Well, we can have that fire, but we have to think right, see right, and hear right, right? And holding on to the promises of God, the empowerment that comes from the Holy Spirit, that when we have ever increasing faith. You want more Holy Ghost in you, Holy Ghost fire? More and more faith. Day after day, I got more, yeah? And then we're sons and daughters of the Lord. We got a clean and filled up temple. But we got to protect ourselves. 1 John 5:18, the one born of God guards himself, and the evil one does not touch him. The one born of God guards himself. Look, when you're watching a horror flick or you're doing something that's defiling your temple, I ain't no good for you. I'm home asleep or doing something else. You got to guard your own temple. Thus, when we have that, when we stand guard of our own temple, we have a hedge of protection around us. Right? Job had a hedge of protection around him. Jesus had a hedge of protection around him. Satan could only get so close to him. Right? And we can say, back off, Satan. You're not welcome near my temple. You're not welcome in my temple. Not even around it. Right? And you know, they paint the saints, when they do paintings and stuff in church, what do they have around the saint's head? A halo, right? Sooner or later, we get to preach on everything. A halo, what's that? That's the glory of God. See? And John G. Lake, this is a Pentecostal preacher, he says, Jesus didn't have just a halo around his head. He had a halo around his whole existence, his whole personhood, his whole being. So Satan couldn't get in that force field, right? What is James 4:7? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. That glory that was surrounded Jesus made the devil bounce off of him, and we'll be like that too. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, we have power over the enemy. Right? We have power to keep our temples clean and filled. Paul tells us, I'm almost done, one more scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24. Paul says to the Thessalonians, I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved, blameless, without defilement, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who called you, and he will do it. Man, we can be preserved. We can not just be clean, we can be filled. And that we can do it all by the Holy Spirit fire. Come down by faith today and faith tomorrow and ever increasing faith. Okay, that's my message.